Does DEI programming belong in our public schools? According to State Senator Lindsay Titchener, the answer is no. Senator Titchener introduced Senate Bill 26, which would eliminate DEI programs and policies in Kentucky's K-12 public education. Hi, I'm Richard Nelson, host of The Commonwealth Matters. DEI has been a hot topic lately, but do we know what it is? Do we understand why it's being taught and how it impacts children? And does it have a place in our public schools? Joining us again to help answer these big questions is State Senator Titchener. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the definition of DEI. And I went to the legislation, read much of the bill. And it's actually the same bill that you introduced last session, correct?
There's a few changes, but yes, it's very similar.
We'll get into those few changes in just a minute. But here's the gist of it. Senate Bill 20 ban the policy, practice, or procedures that promotes differential treatment or benefits to individuals on the basis of religion, race, sex, color, or national origin. And this is both for students and staff in our K-12 public schools. Is that a fair definition?
Yes, it is. And it's in line with HB4's definition from the 25 session, which banned DEI in post-secondary institutions.
And as I shared that definition, it was actually kind of a roundabout way of defining DEI, because DEI, of course, stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And what Senate Bill 26 does is it bans specifically differential treatment based on an external characteristic or somebody's religious beliefs. I want to steel man this, if I could. There's a reason why DEI is being taught in our public schools. Some would say that if something like this were to pass, that history teachers could not teach about slavery or about Jim Crow laws or about the civil rights movement. Is that true? Would something like this ban an accurate teaching of American history?
I hope not. And that's up to the teacher. But no, the bill clearly writes an exception that American history is taught in its entirety. And that would include all of those things. One of the arguments that I get all the time is you're going to start banning books. This will make, you know, our people ban books. It will not. It absolutely protects American history. And that's the value of teaching history, so that we don't repeat some of those things of our past that we aren't proud of. So we absolutely have an exemption in there to make sure we are absolutely teaching American history.
According to the DEI department at Jefferson County Public Schools, the rationale for teaching DEI there, and of course that's the school district with probably the largest Black population of students. Mm-hmm. Part of the rationale is that there has been discrimination in the past. There has been institutional discrimination. And that should be part of the rubric for teaching Black students, or let's say ethnic minorities as well. Now that's expanded. It's not just, you know, based on race, but they've expanded it to gender ideology, transgenderism. They have a recommended book list where they're teaching transgender and LGBT concept to students as well. But in JCPS schools, they have a high school that is for the W.E.B. Du Bois Academy, which is Afrocentric curriculum, which is intentionally diverse to meet the needs of Black students. And I'm bringing, I guess I'm expanding this question to bring that in, because some would say, okay, based on the history of a certain race, should we teach with the realities of discrimination in mind? How do you respond to that?
Okay, a couple of things. There's also a girls' academy, and this is similar in Fayette County. They have this as well. And the girls' academy more specifically says it is only for minority girls. So number one, that's in contradiction to the Civil Rights Act. Okay. We cannot be publicly funding institutions that are segregating students based on immutable characteristics and race. So that right off the bat, it cannot be taught. Now, we don't want to not teach African-American history. That is a part of American history, and it needs to be incorporated. What that is telling me is they're focusing on that only, an Afrocentric curriculum. Yeah. And I bring up, if you start kind of digging into Afrocentric curriculum and that idea of Afrocentric, you start really peeling into some history that's not pretty. E.B. Du Bois, who that's named after, he was a communist. And really, a lot of Afrocentric studies have that as a foundation historically. We don't want to be teaching that. And we want to make sure that, a school that is geared more towards lower-income students, all-male schools, which that's fine, as long as you're not saying it's only for one race. Right. They need all of American history. Yeah. Why would they not? So
one of the things I hear from proponents of DEI is that history today is taught through a white prism. It's white, you know, males. How does that grab you when you hear that? That there's a history, the majority white population writes the history books. How do you respond to that?
It's interesting because we're seeing this kind of effort all throughout the world right now. We hear this term anti-racism, and on the face of it, just those words alone makes you think, yeah, we don't want to be for racism. But again, you start really peeling that back, it's anti-white. There's a tool called the Affirming Racial Equity Tool at JCPS that the teachers are supposed to use to filter their lesson plans through. And they ask, and I don't have it memorized, but basically, do you have a diverse element within your lesson plan? When you look underneath a little asterisk, it defines diverse. And it says a diverse perspective is any perspective except white, male, heterosexual, and Christian. So there's something behind this that is, it is causing a tremendous amount of anti-white sentiment. When you look at the foundation of Western civilization, we're starting to not teach that because it was predominantly white. We look at the Roman influence and the Greek influence on the development of Western society. That's history. Right. It shouldn't matter what color they are. Yeah. And then you need to just tie in when we see African American history come in, let's incorporate that. It should all be taught, is the point. And now we're trying to eliminate and focus towards really an ideology as opposed to just teaching true history.
Yeah. One of the Western ideals is that there is dignity and equality of every human being, that every human being, regardless of skin color, ethnicity, that they are all equal in God's God's image, that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that there's equal treatment before the law, equal opportunity under our laws. Right. And it seems like DEI is undermining, challenging and undermining that, going so far, as I would say, as putting races against one another.
It absolutely is. You can see it in our judicial system right now. I cannot get out of my head that image of Irina Zarudska, I think was her name, from the Ukraine. That person was let out repeatedly, and you wonder, why is a clear criminal being let out? And then he kills an innocent white girl and says, I got that white girl, and that's not a crime. That's not a racism, crime against race.
Of course, you're referring to that brutal slang on the subway, North Carolina?
I think so, Charlotte. Yeah,
Charlotte, North Carolina, and brutal slang.
Yeah.
And there was race involved with that. So getting back to DEI in our public schools, is this actually happening apart from our big school districts? Is it happening in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, or Prestonsburg, Kentucky, in the far east part of the state? Is there documentation showing that DEI concepts are integrated in K through 12 public school curriculum or policies?
Well, I would point you to a little caveat of DEI, which is social emotional learning. If you go onto the KDE website and you start looking at their recommendations and guidance for teachers and helpful links to help implement social emotional learning. And again, it's another one of those tricky things. You know, the words sound great all by themselves, right? But what's behind it? Yeah. There are several links that send you to how to promote racial equity through social emotional learning. So yes, this is being recommended from the top of KDE, and I would argue that they may not even fully know some of the links and implications, but those are absolutely DEI concepts within social emotional learning, and that is throughout the state. I've had teachers reach out to me in very small districts, very rural districts, and they're learning, fourth grade, fifth grade students are having to learn about being ashamed of being white. Like, does it make you sad to be white? You know, asking little kids this question, this is just a horrific idea to be asking children.
Since you brought that up, Senator Titchener, there was an interim joint committee, education committee meeting back in December, just a few weeks ago, where one of the committee members, Representative Sarah Stalker, a Democrat from Louisville, said this in response to you presenting similar ideas that we're talking about now. regarding this issue. Representative Stalker said this, "I'm going to be honest. I do not feel good about being white every day for a lot of reasons." She said some other things, but that statement in particular gained wide traction across the internet. It went viral. Elon Musk entered the conversation. He called her an evil woman. Other people commented on that and said, this is why we need to root out DEI from the schools, because somebody who's white should not feel guilt about their race. Mm-hmm. A student who's black should not feel guilt about her race or about their race. Right. And this is something that we have moved from this idea of having a colorblind society to making race an issue to the point where somebody, let me bring this up, was because you said that students shouldn't feel guilty about their race, regardless of what the race is. But here you have a state representative saying that. How did you respond to that, by the way?
I was quite dumbfounded in the moment, and I did not respond to her statements. And looking back, it made me sad that she's gotten to a point where she feels bad about how she was born. Yeah. I don't think that should ever be the case for anyone. God made her that way. She was born that way. And I have these experiences. We were missionaries in the Dominican. We were the minority in that country, and we were there to help, and we did as much as we could. I had no shame of my skin color there. Yeah. I wanted to help because I had the resources to help, because I was blessed to be born in the greatest nation in the world, and they weren't, right? So looking at things from a different perspective of not shame, but hey, if I am in a better position just by where I was born or the family that I was born into or my success in my career, how do I use that to help people? Not how do I look at myself and feel guilt? So yeah, it was a shocking statement. And I think it's a prime example of what the ideology of DEI does to someone's thinking. Yeah. And Elon calls it a woke mind virus. And it absolutely seems to have inoculated a lot of people, and they just believe and think in a very unfortunate and backwards way that's not helpful to anybody.
DEI is pervasive through and through throughout education. The state Kentucky Department of Education, the federal Department of Education, there are so many different DEI policies in place. Yeah, and you mentioned even it's under different terminology like SEL, social emotional learning. Your bill, Senate Bill 26, does a few things. It prohibits DEI offices, dedicated staff, and related trainings in public school districts. It requires the KDE to eliminate its division of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And it mandates public reporting requirements on DEI-linked employee compensation. Are you hopeful that you can make some headway in peeling back some of this?
I am hopeful. I'm hopeful over time. It's not going to be a quick fix. And we're seeing that in our post-secondary institutions. And what we really tried to address was not the definition of what is DEI by itself, but what is the action behind DEI? Because they'll change the name. They'll call it belonging. They'll add in other adjectives that make it sound good and still do the same discriminatory things. I'm hoping it will just start to redirect how our schools look at educating students. They're not a social engineering project. Mm-hmm. We need to teach them basic literacy, math, science. Our science scores, oh my gosh, in Kentucky are so bad. If we pull away those tremendous amount of resources that are being wasted on DEI, put it towards educating students, that's what we need to focus on.
Yeah. There's a proverb that says, when a land transgresses, it has many rulers. But with a man of understanding and knowledge, its stability will long continue. The idea here is that when people live without regard to their neighbors and without moral boundaries, then you need more government to restrain people who've gone off the rails. So if people are going to flourish, God's truth must be embraced. After all, God tells us who we are, what's our purpose, and how to live in harmony with our fellow man. Christians should understand what God's word says and how to think biblically about the issues so that they can engage well. To stay up to date with what's going on in Kentucky, subscribe to CPC's newsletter. Go to CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org to subscribe, and you can also find other resources there. Thank you, and may God bless you. So you just touched on one of my next questions, and that is, how do you keep the Kentucky Department of Education and local school districts from simply changing the terminology and still accomplishing the same outcome?
Yeah. We put a little bit of teeth in the bill, so the AG has some ability to do some things to make sure they're in line, and so does the average citizen. So if they feel like they have their students or themselves as a staff member are being discriminated against, and the school's continuing the policies, they have a civil cause of action to pursue some legal remedy. So I'm hoping that, again, we say no resources can be expended towards those things. You know, we control the budget. So hopefully, you know, we can really encourage the power of the purse. And we're seeing the federal government right now pulling back funding, significant amounts of money across Kentucky. I think $10 million a couple of months back to JCPS was pulled back. And then some grants, I think, totaled, I want to say $47 million just got pulled away.
Was this because JCPS schools are in violation of federal policy when it comes to DEI?
Yes.
So here's the next question. Would they get that money back if they pulled the DEI teaching and curriculum and the whole budget, which is a significant budget in JCPS? I want to say it's about $30 million a year.
Oh, it's more than that. Yeah. Yeah. Of their $2 billion budget, they have three pillars that they stand on. And one of them is racial equity is one of their main goals and pillars of JCPS. Within that racial equity, there are an immense amount of programs. This is all on their website. You can, and all in their budget. It's all public information. When you add all of those up, it totals closer to $90 million. But some of those programs woven in there aren't directly DEI, so they'll continue on. So it is significant, but it's tangled in a way that you can't quite pinpoint exactly how much is being spent on it.
So I want to talk about student achievement in JCPS schools. We've got numbers here from the 2024-2025 school year. And here's elementary school students. This is first through fourth graders. Those proficient in reading, 24%. So less than one out of four elementary school students in all JCPS, only one out of four are proficient in reading. Middle school students, 22%. So it declines as they get into their middle school years. And then high school, it's even worse. It's the same, 22% there. Again, about one in five middle schoolers and high schoolers in JCPS were proficient in reading. When it comes to proficiency in math, elementary school students in JCPS, 23%. Middle school students, 20%. And high school students, 18%. So we see small percentage of students who are proficient in both areas, reading and in math. Would you contend that it's because Jefferson County Public Schools, they're not focusing and teaching enough, dedicating enough resources and time to focusing on those fundamental areas?
Yeah, it's definitely a contributing factor. It's obviously not the only factor. I will bring up, JCPS has a racial equity funding model, which
So
when they look at funding a school, they look at the number of students who have special needs, you know, various things. So they make sure they target needed areas with the financial help so that kids can get the services that they need. They've added in their racial equity formula. So they look at the percentage of African-American students and minorities in that school in particular, and then they put more money into it, which of course is against the Civil Rights Act. So you can't, they can't do that, which is one of the reasons why they lose some of their funding. So when they do that, the districts that have predominantly minority districts, more of the inner city schools, they're funding students to the tune of $25,000 a year or more. I mean, it's very, very high. And the scores in some of those districts are in the single digits.
Proficiency scores.
Yeah. So we're looking at, okay, they are targeting those students based on their race for funding, and it's not at all helping their education and their scores. Now, you look at the poverty in Jefferson County Public Schools, and they have a high poverty population. So they do need extra help in a lot of different areas. So it's not just DEI. There are a lot of contributing factors to why the scores may not be great. But I think it proves that it's not helping when you look at targeted money going towards a certain demographic of students and their scores being so low.
Dr. John Marshall is the JCPS Chief Equity Officer. He has a podcast, and in the very first episode, he had the Chief Equity and Social Justice Officer from Atlanta Area Public Schools, Tahita Baker-Jones. And this is what Tahita Baker-Jones said about DEI in public schools. She said, "Our role is to build the lens and the stamina of everyone, including our teachers, to do their work through the lens of equity and through the guise of equity." She went on to say this, for teachers specifically, cultivating self-love and knowledge and appreciation and respect for others in your classroom, teaching about issues of justice and social movements and social change, and listen to this, and encouraging students to exercise their voice. I hear social activism, political activism there. One more statement from this very first podcast that John Marshall, called the Pillar Podcast, had. He said, "We're looking to do a curriculum equity initiative in the district where we audit our curriculum and see ways in which we need to supplement that curriculum to mitigate mono," and this is the key, "the opposite of that is something called multiculturalism," which really came on the scene 30 or 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it teaches that instead of the idea that we talked about, ideals of Western civilization, it teaches a multiculturalism where there's a different understanding, where you bring your cultural background, your ethnicity, your history to this. It's more of a salad bar instead of a melting pot, if you will, that there is no absolute truth, that there isn't this idea that there's all are created equal, that we're endowed by our creator. And this specifically militates against that to mitigate against monoculturalism. How do you respond to that?
Golly, that's a big question. I didn't know we had a podcast. I'm going to have to listen to that one. I wonder if they highlighted Charlie Kirk's work in their schools, in their classrooms,
right?
That's
a good question to ask.
This is coming from...
That'd be a good question to ask,
I think. And of course, I know the answer to that, because that movement and that focus on social justice goes one way, and it's not towards conservative issues.
Lindsay, if I could add to this, I remember a few years ago when Senate Bill 150 was being considered, they took buses from the Jefferson County Public Schools filled with students to protest Senate Bill 150. There were teachers, there were staff, and I guess they're just executing what it says here, encouraging students to exercise their voice. Is that appropriate?
No.
What do you say about the person who says, well, we're teaching them about our state government and teaching them about civic engagement?
Well, they had some state legislators go into JCPS during that same year, that same legislative session, and helped them write letters to us during the school day. Sure, great. Social activism, then we want to come too. Republicans, conservatives want a voice in there too, which of course we can't have that, and they wouldn't allow it. So
fairness, that would be right. I mean, to allow, if you're going to allow some kind of social activism or political activism, you should have both sides of the political spectrum.
Right. But this is not about a diversity of thought. This is about a diversity of against one line of thought and focusing on another. So it's frustrating for sure.
I want us to look at some of the ugly fruit of DEI. Yeah. When you talk about teaching divisive concepts, the feeling guilty about your skin color, that you've been an oppressor, the oppressor class and the oppressed class, these concepts are meant to divide, meant to stigmatize, meant to bring us together as a people, right? I mean, this American project, which we're imperfect. Yeah. We've got a history and a track record. We've failed and failed terribly.
Right.
But we don't stay stuck in it. One of the beauties of our beautiful things of our nation is that we have a framework where we can correct the wrongs and get things right. Yeah, well, I want to look at some of the negative fruit there. John Marshall, who is the director of DEI in Jefferson County Public Schools, tweeted after the 2024 election, where Donald Trump was elected. This is what he tweeted out on his Twitter account. "A few younger Black professionals and students called me this morning and asked, what's a strategy moving forward? My response, regardless of the rooms, meetings, classes, etc. you're in, know that the majority of whites could care less about you and have no issues harming you or yours."
Swap the races, swap out white for Black, and read that again. Can you imagine? Don't really read it again. Can you imagine
if a white person
were to have said something like that about Black people? And yet he's still employed at JCPS making $200,000 a year, hanging on till he gets his pension. That's unacceptable. And that is the leader, the biggest leader in public education regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion in the state of Kentucky, influencing other Black students that white people want to harm them. That's horrific. That's the problem with DEI. It has created that mindset. And for some reason, he thinks that's totally okay to say that publicly.
To your point, Lindsay, he has incredible influence in the state's largest public school district. Other young people were asking him, how do we respond to the election? And he had a very, very unfortunate, really ugly statement that he made towards whites. And it makes me sad that this kind of mindset is there, and somebody in a position of authority and influence has said this. Was there any recourse for the General Assembly to address this? Like, this is just way out of bounds. This is not something you'd expect a public school official to say, to broad brushstroke an entire race and say, white people want to harm you, that it could care less about you and would have no issues with harming you.
Unfortunately, we don't have the ability to fire school employees. We called for his resignation. And when we did that, at their racial equity award the next week, Ricky Jones, a professor at University of Louisville, called us each by name and labeled us racist. So that's the battle we're up against. And until we have people in leadership within schools like Jefferson County and University of Louisville to hold their employees accountable for that type of rhetoric, we've got a battle ahead of us, I'll just say. And this bill, hopefully if we pass it, I'm very hopeful it's a start in the right direction, but it's going to take some time to undo what this has done to our society.
State Senator Lindsay Titchener, thank you so much for sponsoring Senate Bill 26 and for taking time to join us on the Commonwealth Matters. God bless you.
Thank you.